Good evening. We have six members present. We do have a quorum. Are there any general announcements from anybody on the council?
Do you want to just see if the thing's on?
I want to announce it's 70 degrees warmer, I think, in Florida than it is in Georgia tonight.
Okay.
I'm chairman of the school committee for the city council, and this past Friday, February 20th, along with it being Councilman Taylor's birthday, I attended the DeKalb Rotary Council District Joint Breakfast, and awards were presented to the Teachers of the Year. And this year, the Dunwoody Sunset Rotary Club gave their Teacher of the Year award to LaShawn White, who teaches at Chestnut Charter Elementary. And her principal is Dr. Richard Reed. He was also in attendance. And the Dunwoody Rotary Club awarded their Teacher of the Year to Audrey Wheeler, who teaches at Austin Elementary. And her principal is also there, Beth Oldenburg. I just wanted to congratulate both of them. Also, our naming the school, the suggestions for naming the school, the mascot and the colors, school colors for the new school, is winding down. If you'd like to suggest a name, mascot, or school color, that address is schoolnaming@gmail.com. You get those in soon. Also want to announce our first Dunwoody Court is going to be this Wednesday, February 25th at 6:30. At the terraces. If you didn't get a special invitation, you may want to attend. I'm kind of excited to see that. One more. A constituent, I just want to congratulate our staff, because a constituent told my husband, he works with my husband, that he sent in his homestead exemption application, or, you know, the tax freeze, and he actually got a phone call from our staff, because he just moved here, and our staff called to let him know that he also needs to play with DeKalb County. And I was really impressed with that type of service. That's why we became a city. And thank you, staff. I just wanted to congratulate them.
I got one question. Just letting everybody know that Senate Bill 58, which is our property transfer bill, moved out of the Senate last week. It passed out 32-16 last Tuesday. It has now had first and second reads in the House. It's been assigned to committee, and that is progressing along. We're doing negotiations with the county, but also the legislation is moving along, hopefully keeping those negotiations timely and on as focused.
Just for my purpose, just want to let everybody know that there's only one purpose of having a city government, city council, and that is to enhance the lives of the citizens and the community where we live. And that's what we will keep in mind at all times. With that, Kenny, would you lead the communication, please?
At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate.
Thank you. Adrian, you can use the question.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're down to item E, Sharon. Approval of the minutes for January 26, 2009. Do I hear a motion?
I move to accept them as written. I'll second.
Motion made by Councilman Royce, second by Councilman Whitney. The minutes as written. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 6-0. The next one is the approved minutes of the February 9th special call work session. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Councilman Taylor moved that we approve, second by Councilman Hennigan. Are there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, we'll vote on the motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 6-0. Minutes, approval of minutes from February 9th, special called city council meeting. Do I hear a motion?
Oh, sure, I'll move.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? There is one correction, I think, on, I can't remember what page, like 5 or something. The word presentation spelled wrong, but I'm sure you can correct that with a pen and ink change. Is that correct?
Yes, it's right there.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay? The ayes have it 6-0. Okay. Item F, approval of the meeting agenda. Do you hear a motion?
Aye. I make to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. Councilwoman Bonser made the motion, seconded by Councilman Ross. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, we'll vote on the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? The ayes have it 6-0. Okay. Mayor and council comments. I think we probably got ahead of ourselves a little bit, so we've pretty much covered that, but is there anybody else that has a comment? Robert?
I'll leave one comment, just for everybody to know. Most of us gave up our weekend this weekend, and we spent it up at the campus of UGA in Athens, where we were doing training for newly elected officials. And there were sessions on ethics and finance and land use, and we were pretty much at it from 8 in the morning until late in the evening. And I think we all picked up a lot of good information that will help us, and there are other opportunities for us to get additional training, but I think it was worthwhile, and I think all of us have come back with more information on how to do this and do it well.
Thank you, Robert. You didn't tell them about the financial end where we pass the hat at every meeting?
Shh.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. That means we're into public comment. And Ms. Penn?
Last Tuesday evening...
State your name and...
Sure, my name is Jerry Penn and I live in Delaney North. And last Tuesday evening, Delaney North Civic Association had their annual general meeting, and our guest speakers were Warren Huttmacher and Chief Billy Grogan. I did thank them in email, but I wanted to make a public thanks. I received so much positive comments after the meeting, telephone call, email, and I even received a note in the mail. They were so impressed with both of you, and you did a great job. I thought there was a moment where someone might get a little hostile, and I really dreaded standing up and saying, let's be respectful. And Mr. Huttmacher did a great job handling this one particular person, and it was just a great evening. I also want to thank Jennifer Peterson and code enforcement for handling an issue so quickly in Dunwoody North. The homeowners, I know, appreciate it because they've been dealing with this issue for a year and would wait weeks just to get a response from code enforcement. And this was just sent out over the weekend, and code enforcement was already out there this morning. So I think citizens need to know how our government is really working for them. So thank you all.
Thank you, Jerry, for your kind words. We appreciate that. That would probably be me. Okay. Any more public comment cards? Was that the only one? Thank you. Okay. That public comment is closed. Okay. Consent agenda items. Sharon, do you want to read them, each one, and then we'll see if anyone has any objections. If they do, we'll take them off. If not, when we get to the end of consent agendas, we'll vote on them as a whole.
Yes, sir. Number one, second read and vote on ordinance for right-of-way exchange, Perimeter Center West, Hammond Drive, ordinance 2009-02-13. Number two, second...
Why don't you read them one at a time, Sharon? Does anybody have any objections to item I-1?
I'd like to make one clarification. That's actually Perimeter Center Parkway / Hammond Drive.
Are you allowed to make a pending change on that?
It's right in the ordinance. Okay. It's just wrong on the agenda.
Okay. Hearing no objections, Sharon, would you read I-2, please?
Second read and vote on ordinance revision to Chapter 23 to add authorization for Public Works to establish a residential streetlight policy, Ordinance 2009-02-14.
Okay, that's item 2 in the book. Does anybody have any objections? Seeing no objections, we'll go on to item I-3, Sharon, please.
Resolution establishing a streetlight district on Boxwood Place in Boxwood Subdivision, Resolution 2009-02-17.
Are there any objections from the council? Seeing no objections, we will move on to item I-4, please, Sharon.
Resolution approving a memorandum of understanding, MOU, with the Georgia Department of Transportation for the city to become the sponsor of the Dunwoody Village TE project, Resolution 2009-02-18.
I would like to see that discussed. We've got all the consent agenda and move that on to unfinished business. So this would be J5. With that being done, I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda as revised.
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Wittenstein, seconded by Councilman Hennigan. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it 6-0. Okay, with that, we'll go on to unfinished business. Item J1. Sharon, would you please read that?
An action item, contract to retain the services of Pond & Company to provide consulting services for the city's comprehensive plan.
Do you hear a motion?
Second.
Motion's made by Councilman Taylor, seconded by Councilwoman Bonser. Is there any discussion?
She's right there.
There she is. Jennifer, would you like to give us just a quick update on that, any changes since our work session?
Absolutely. There are a couple of underlying strike-through changes that were a series of negotiations between our legal team and our consultant. Really, it was just a tightening of the contract. The two major issues that were discussed from various points was dispute resolution, the time frame for resolving bills, and also some language about disclaimers of whether they should or should not be on the documents.
Do you have a page number for
that? Yeah, page 2 and page 3, I think. And there's more on page 4 and page 5.
Okay, this is your change. That change was on what you sent us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take a moment to just go over the line items if anyone has.
I just have a question for council. Are you content with the way it reads now, Brian?
I believe so. Betty?
Yes, so I was going to negotiate it. It came down to the wire, actually, on one of the items, but we are content with Texas City.
Okay.
That's just how it's people you're saying. Lenny, would you like to come up and answer a couple more? The item on page 4, that looks more like a standard boilerplate plate to me.
Which item?
It has to do with the invoices were past due, not paid in 30 days.
This was added. They had a provision in terms of the invoices aren't paid because they spend the work. So we wanted to, in terms of protecting the city, we needed to have a timeline so that we know and gives us enough time to dispute the bills in case we need to dispute the bills. So we had determined that 30 days was a reasonable timeline with discussion with community development, saying that within 30 days any bill should be resolved. And we could take out from the provision, they don't have to input a provision, but if we defaulted on anything, that they could also terminate the contract, we would never negotiate that. That does not include any disputes over bills.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Any other questions for council or community development? Seeing no other questions, all in favor of the motion to retain the service of the company provided consulting service for the city comprehensive plan, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Passes 6-0. 6-0, I guess I should say. Okay. Sharon, could you please read item J2?
Second read. An ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 20 of Assemblages in Public Places and providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 20 of Assemblages in Public Places as attached here to and incorporated herein.
Thank you, Sharon. Entertain a motion.
I'll move that we adopt Chapter 20 as presented.
Okay, the motion's been made by Councilman Wittgenstein, second by Councilman Taylor, to adopt. Before we start the discussion,
the floor. Excuse me. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have. The only change is on page 6 of 11, section 4, which we're discussing the work session. The meaning of the there are already events in progress being planned that I have the authority to waive during the first 12 months following the enactment of the ordinance, the 60-day period.
Tim?
Have you had a meeting with Lemonade Days folks?
We have, it's at a couple of years.
And you don't see any problem with getting that done? Because
no, sir. With Lemonade Days, we'll go on.
And this pertains only to public property. Is that correct, Roy? Okay. I got a comment here that we discussed last time about the parade. But since it's... Oh, liability for the parade. That was just, the 4th of July parade, and there talks about insurance, et cetera. Does this apply to the 4th of July parade? Insurance requirements. Section 6, liabilities, page 8 or 11?
No, because this is under special events. Hope that parade would be under assemblages, which is Article 1. It's not a special event per se. It's parade. It's an assemblage. But I'm not expecting it to last through July 10th, I'm guessing. the disinsurance requirement would not apply on page 8.
Okay, that's all I learned. It doesn't apply to that. That's it. That's good. I didn't realize it was a special event, but that's okay. John?
Can you tell me the application process at the work session? There was some confusion as to the difference between an assemblage and a special event in the sense of the application process.
I'm just here for show.
I understand.
At the start of the application process, it all goes to the same thing. The difference between assemblages, as they are in Article 1, and a special event is that the special event will require the presence of a fire marshal approval, because they're stationary events lasting for a certain period of time. Now, there's also some need to get Fire Marshal to approve certain stops along the parade route, but it's not the same complicated approval process of the Fire Marshal in terms of, because, for example, Lemonade Days will have tents up, which will have to comply with the fire code and things like that. But generally, the application process will go through the same steps. They will file an application with the city manager's office, who will forward it directly to community development. We'll assign it a number. The community development then will then forward it to police department, to fire marshal, to get their approval on certain aspects that have to be approved. If city streets and or right-of-ways are going to be heavily used, Public Works is going to weigh in on what necessary instruments the Public Works Department will need to be used. But let's say the process for a special event will be slightly longer due to the length of the event. But as a general matter, the application still will flow through the same chart.
Well, I understand the special permit or the special event needing extra time. I guess I'm looking for the difference in the sense of an assemblage. What's the time frame for an assemblage? Because I believe that's where the confusion was last week.
Yeah, it has to be at least 15 to more than 60 days prior to the event. It's a much faster time frame. Usually for special events, we need a longer time frame, but for assemblages, for the Article 1 part, at least 15 days to allow it to flow through the community development, public works, and other departments. But it shouldn't require a whole lot more than that due to the nature and the, let's say, not stationary nature of the event.
There's also a way to do it for emergency application for less than 10 days.
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure that we're clear on that.
Yeah, there's always provisions for it, and of course, in a special event, there's a provision that the city manager will first use to waive the 60-day requirement. But yeah, because the assemblages involve some First Amendment rights, we do have the fact that an emergency assemblage can be made through an emergency application.
Thank you, Lynn.
Any other questions? Probably.
I'll just make a comment. Those of us who've been around Dunwoody for a long time know that just sort of once a month we get a small crowd on the sidewalk opposite the Scientology folks. And the way this ordinance is written is that if they continue with their normal behavior, which is to stay on the sidewalk, they will not need a permit from the city in order to do that. And I think that's appropriate. I don't want us to be rounding them up and trying to cart them away because they're trying to protest without getting a permit. So the way that this was written, you need a permit if you're going to do an assemblage that goes out into the roadway. If you're going to block traffic, you need to get permission. We need to know about that. We need to be able to deploy the police in order to ensure that nobody's safety is in danger. But if you stay on the sidewalk, you're exercising your First Amendment rights, and as long as there's no danger that anybody's going to get hurt, if you don't, then you're good to go. And I think that's the appropriate balance.
I think it's not just block traffic; it's impede or anything else, interfere or anything else.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of the ordinance to adopt Chapter 20, Public Assemblage of the City of Dunwoody, Code of Ordinance, Ordinance 2009-0215, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Vote 6-0. Okay. We'll move on to item J3. Sharon, would you please read that?
An ordinance granting to Atlanta Gas Light Company, a Georgia corporation, here and after designated as a company, which possesses and assigns the right and franchise to use and occupy the streets, avenues, roads, public highways, alleys, lanes, ways, parks, and other public places of the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, for constructing, maintaining, renewing, repairing, and operating a gas works and gas distribution system, and other necessary means for manufacturing, transmitting, distributing, and selling of manufactured natural or commingled gas within and through the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, and fixing the terms and conditions of such grant to provide provisions governing the franchise fee calculation, to provide an effective date, and for other purposes.
Thank you, Sharon. Can I hear a motion?
So
moved. Okay, Councilman Ross made the motion to approve. Councilman Taylor, second. Discussion.
I see that you got the 30 days they have to pay in 30 days. Has that been agreed to?
No, what we are currently is, this has been sent to them, was sent to them a week and a half ago, and they have not yet responded. But what we could do is, you know, tell them this has been approved, if they live with it, it's approved. If they come back with changes, if they're in front of you again.
And there was one other issue, I think, about restoration of a property that was disturbed or...
Language is in there.
That language is
also in there? Robert. And I have a question about that language. And I was just trying to find the equivalent section in the Comcast one, and I haven't been able to locate it. I noted that we're only... that the provision for us to restore it and build them is only for public property. It doesn't provide any facility if they tear up in front of somebody's house and leave a mess. Then the homeowner's on his own against Atlanta Gaslight. Is there a way to reword this so that it extends to any utility work done by Atlanta Gaslight within Dunwoody? Either they put it back the way they found it, or we do it for them.
If we have a granted easement, we can do that. If not, it's public property. We can look into that situation. What we were asked to do is mirror Comcast, and this is...
Is that what's in Comcast? That was what I was trying to...
Comcast, and that's what's in... but we can certainly take a look at that at the same time.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if we at least extended it to any easement, so that we, again...
Is easement considered public property?
If you have an easement...
Top of section 6.
So I'm sorry.
The statement I mismade that the easement is public property.
It's not public property. It's
a public easement. So we have rights to that. But would it be clearer in your mind, Brian, if we added that term?
It's probably added that. I'm pretty sure we do
that. Okay.
Yeah, it would only be an easement granted to the city, not to the homeowner. I mean, not that the homeowner would be granting.
The homeowner would be granting?
Right. So, I guess I'd like to make a motion that we defer. And since they haven't reviewed this anyway, I guess I'd like to make a motion to defer until our next meeting when we can review revised language. Or I can make a motion that we amend on the floor and then go ahead and pass it.
I think the latter would be the appropriate.
Then I will move that we amend the agreement. And we're on section 6, which is page 1, 2, 3, 4, page 5. Last paragraph of the section. That we extend the conditions listed in the last sentence to include not just public property, but also public right-of-way. Public right-of-way and easement. Public and city easement.
Well, why don't you make it to the private property as much as legally allowable?
What he said.
Okay. I'll second. Restored easement. Restored easement, and right after the word public way there.
What we're going to do is public easements and private property to the extent allowable under the law.
Easements and private property allowable under the law.
We'll actually put in what it is.
Thank you.
That won't be exact words.
Okay. And so everybody see where that's added? The last paragraph, right after the last sentence. Right after public way, easements and private. We'll reword that to make it legal. Any more discussion? Okay, we'll vote on the amendment.
Danny?
Yes,
John. I believe since we've added an amendment, I believe we need to do public comment at this time.
You're exactly right. Thank you. Point of order. It's good. Okay, we'll open the floor up to public comment since we made an amendment. We'll have pros and cons. Anybody want to speak to the pro, to add the words easement and private property allowable to the extent allowable by law? Is there anyone that would like to, you see none, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, public comment is therefore closed, and thank you for your point of order. Okay, with that in mind, let's vote on the amendment to add the words easement and private properties to the extent allowable by law. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, the amendment passes, 6-0. Now we'll have discussion on the original motion to grant the franchise agreement to Atlanta Gas and Light Company, ordinance 2009-0212. Is there any discussion?
Council, Brian, in section 9, we changed the language on the insurance. Is there any net effect or is that just that?
No, that should have the same thing. Atlanta Gas Light is a large company that is self-insured. This basically allows them to do it as customary practice in the natural gas industry.
So it basically says they can self, we allow them to self-insure themselves rather than collateral carriers.
That's what the net effect of that language does.
Okay. And that's pretty standard?
That is standard.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? John?
Comparing apples to oranges, I'm looking ahead already to Comcast. There's a confidentiality agreement in Comcast. Is there anything similar in the Atlanta Gas Light?
There's not directly apples and oranges. You do have what's required by law. It's trade secret. You can't divulge it anyway. And that would be the limitation. And theoretically, that would also be the limitation in Comcast.
So in Atlanta Gas Light, I'm guessing then it's not specifically stated, whereas in Comcast it is?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Brian, on page 2, at the bottom of the page, it says December the 1st, 2007, for 30 years thereafter. Should that be 2008?
Yes, it is. It's supposed to be changed. I think that is changed.
Do we consider that a typo?
Can make a pen and ink change?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Okay, we will get that changed to December 1st, 2008. Seeing none, we'll vote on the original motion as amended. We grant a franchise agreement to Atlanta Gas and Light Company, which is our ordinance 2009-0202012. All those in favor, they say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 6-0. 6-0. Okay. Sharon, would you please read item J4?
An ordinance granting Comcast of Georgia 1, LLC, a franchise agreement to provide cable and other services to subscribers within the city of Dunwoody boundaries. Granting the right to use the city's public rights of way in relation to provision of such services providing for associated franchise fees and for other purposes.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion. Okay, Councilwoman Bonzer, who's made the motion to accept? Is there a second?
Second.
Councilman Taylor, second. Discussion. John.
Section 6.3, the section that I just talked about, which is the privacy protection in the sense of granting confidentiality. This statement's not in our standard statewide agreement, and I see no reason for it to be in ours. Could I get a legal opinion of that?
Second comment, Andy Matthew with Comcast. The last time we met, there was a request to make some changes to that language to basically suggest that the city would only be obligated to hold on to documents that were labeled as confidential to the extent allowable under the Open Records Law Act. So, you're right, it doesn't match up with what the GMA model agreement says, but that was basically modifications made based on a request of the city council.
Okay. Brad, would you comment on that?
Well, of course we can negotiate any changes to the agreement with Comcast that you so desire. Under the Open Records Act, there are certain things that you have to provide, and there are certain exceptions. Trade secrets is the notable exception. If it is a trade secret, we couldn't provide it regardless. And if it's not a trade secret, we pretty much have to provide it anyway. So under law, it's not a significant change because you are dictated what you can and cannot give.
Do you see a negative impact by leaving it in there?
I prefer it out, but I don't think it has a material negative impact.
I'd like to make a proposal that we strike Section 6.3, Privacy Protection.
Can you make me as an amendment?
Please.
Is there a second?
I'll second open up for discussion.
Okay. Motion's made, amendment's been made by Councilman Hennigan, second by Councilman Taylor, to amend the motion to strike Section 6.3. Discussion?
We just had legal advice saying that we should do this.
Okay, like I said, I prefer.
You prefer.
I don't have material impact.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, Robert?
Well, point of information, I'd be interested, since we have the representative from Comcast here, I'd be interested in knowing whether striking the sentence would have an impact on our ability to get the revised language signed. I mean, we're basically negotiating from the floor here. And it'd be nice to know whether this is something that would, you know, again, we can pass it this way, and then we can come back in 2 weeks if they don't agree.
Frank, would you take the stand along with the representative of Comcast?
Sure. I mean, to your point, my preference would not be to have a negotiation in the context of a city council meeting, a motion, or what have you. At the end of the day, beyond being a document that outlines the contractual relationship between the city and Comcast, it also serves as a guideline so that if staff is trying to figure out, okay, I've got a request for information and what's the process here. It's laid out there, of course. You can always call the city attorney, but it does lay out some incremental steps in the process that might not be required under law. For example, to contact the company and say, hey, there's a request for some information here that you've labeled as a trade secret. And ultimately, the city has to make the determination whether it is fits under the definition, legal definition of a trade secret or not.
I'll tell you what the city's done thus far, and probably will continue. If it gets close, what we do is we tend to notify the holder of the trade secrets and let them know that we're going to default on providing the information, and if they so desire, they can go and proceed to get a TRO if they believe their rights will be violated. We typically do that approach anyway.
And essentially, the end result of having the language versus not having the language is it makes us more careful as to what we're going to be willing to hand over to the city versus staff coming over to our building and looking at what might be necessary from a compliance standpoint. So it's not a huge deal one way or another, but it does provide us with some comfort as to how... what is the process for the handling of this information? And, again, it kind of outlines things in a manner completely consistent with the law. It just, in black and white, lays out what those steps may be.
Thank you very much. I see that council does not have a strong objection, and so therefore, in my opinion, I think we ought to leave it in there. I think... the people that we do business with, I think we should create that kind of an atmosphere there where it is a congenial kind of situation. So, okay, any other discussion on the amendment? Okay, we'll now vote on the amendment. Seeing none.
Point of information, I think we need public comment.
Okay.
Okay, PC here. Okay, we'll open up to public comment. We'll allot time for the pros and the cons. Is there anyone that wants to speak pro on this issue? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone that would want to speak con against the issue? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Okay, therefore we'll vote on the amendment to strike section 6.3 from the agreement with Comcast. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your right hand. Opposed, raise your right hand. The amendment fails 5-1. Councilman Hennigan voted for, the rest voted against.
Raise my wrong hand. Oh. I said raise your right hand. I was holding the paper, so he was correcting me. Yeah. It was appropriate. Yeah.
Okay, now we're back to the original motion to accept the franchise agreement with Atlanta Gas and Light. With Comcast, there's Georgia. Going backwards here. It's okay. Is there any discussion on the original motion? Robert.
Denny, I've got a question for the Comcast rep as well. A moment ago, we modified the agreement with that we were proposing with Atlanta Gas Light so as to include an obligation on your part not only to restore the public way, should you disturb it and not fix it yourself, and we modified it to include easements on private property to the extent allowable by law. So the idea here is that if you go up onto somebody's private property in order to work on the cable, but it's in the city's easement, and that's what gives you the right to work on it without the permission of the landholder, can we hold you to that same standard? That if you're up in our easement in somebody's yard and you make a mess and you don't clean it up, we'd like to be able to clean it up and send you the bill.
Robert, I think we're going beyond the scope of what we can do here. We've probably already crossed over that, but I think we're almost going into direct negotiations. I don't think we can do that. I think we... can I get a ruling from my counsel on that?
Well, you definitely have the right to go and ask the question and anything you want to do. I would agree that it's getting to the point that it's actually negotiating from the floor. But you do have that right.
Well, I just wanted to ask the question. Is that...
I think without seeing directly the language that you might propose, the obligation of the company is, in the public rights way, we'll do any kind of repair of damage, and that's where our facilities are. In terms of a private easement of the city, I have to really take a moment and think through. I will say that just as a matter of record, the city had sent over significant revisions to the sections, sections specifically referring to restoration of the public rights of way, which I accepted those in almost, I think in a wholesale fashion. I don't think I had any counter languages. So I can tell you that we'll act in good faith to do anything. My preference is that we need to take something back and revisit language, and then to do that and table this for another time. So,
thank you. Okay, is there any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll vote on the original motion to grant a franchise agreement to Comcast of Georgia, ordinance 200812. And 53? Yep, that's what you'd be right. 53, correct? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, it passes 6-0. We're now considering item J5, which is an ad, which is, if you go back to your item I4, resolution approving a memorandum of understanding with the Georgia Department of Transportation for the city to become a sponsor of the Dunedin Village TE project. Sorry. Do I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
I'll second.
Okay, Councilman Taylor made the motion to approve. Councilman Lichtenstein, the second.
Funds are
okay. 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 Discussion. Okay. Who's the staff? There he is, right there. I will. The reason I brought this up is the cost factor. And discussion of memorandum understanding transportation at our work session on the 16th. I was told it would be total cost of the city about $125. $125,000. $125,000. $125,000. And if not, where would we get it?
On the budget, my understanding is we have $300,000 budgeted for capital projects this year, and that could, this $125,000 could come out of that capital projects. From the how soon we would have to have it, we haven't met yet to decide when we would issue an RFP for the design services, which is what would this $125,000 would go for. Primarily, we may not use all that for the design services. It's conceivable with a project of this type that the design services could extend over multiple years, so the actual payout of that contract may not all fall into this fiscal year. It could extend into the next fiscal year.
Okay. I have one more question. Go ahead. You got it. What this project, tell us how this project will benefit the citizens of Dunwoody.
Okay. This project deals with Dunwoody Village Parkway, which right now is a four-lane road with a median on it, which has no sidewalks at all on that. And there's significant amounts of businesses and commercial development along that road. What this project would do, primarily the concept of it, is to add sidewalk and bicycle facilities along that roadway to make it more pedestrian-friendly and to allow for the walking between those businesses as opposed to driving your car from one business to the next business to the next business all in that small area.
So it would go from Mount Vernon all the way over to Chamley Dunwoody.
That's what the initial concept was. One of the issues we're going to have to do as we get into the design is, as originally conceptualized, the budget was a lot more than what was actually granted in the grant, so we're going to have to look at ways of reducing the scope of the original concept. What that may be, the probably preferable would be, instead of doing it on both sides of the road, to do it on one side of the road as opposed to it create the full corridor on one side as opposed to doing a half measure on both sides. But that's something we will develop as we move into the design of the project to bring the original scope back within the budget.
We have to put up this to get, and it's worth how much?
$500,000 is the grant. $500,000 is the grant.
That, it would be $500,000 plus what we put in.
Plus what we put in, $125,000.
John.
Richard, what's the date of the grant? We have, I believe, 2 years to get going on it. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I had made the inquiry into Brandon Beach, our DOT board member. He has not yet gotten back to me on that date. Although one of the things we are looking at is because of the city coming in, it's a cityhood, so late is to get them to amend the date of the grant to at least December 1st to give us that extra time, since DeKalb County has sat on this for at least 6 months pending the vote in cityhood.
And again, that's my concern, because we don't know the exact date. It was brought to our attention before December.
I believe in the packets. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe in the packets is the actual grant letter, which is, it'll be the date of the grant letter is, I believe, the date, the worst case.
Okay, great, thank you, I see it now.
And Councilman Austin, we had a meeting with our district engineer subsequent to, I believe, the last work session. We covered, in general, our interest in this project, and the understanding I had from the meeting is, as long as the city is progressing along the path of
put the project to use, spending the funds, and this will not be an issue of, you know, if you hit this, miss this deadline, we'll just kill the project. If we move forward in that direction, there shouldn't be any problems. The state wants to encourage us to do the project. Yes.
Right. And also by that date, though, there's no reason that we have to have it done in this fiscal year.
Correct. Correct.
Thank you.
Would both sides of the street be only one lane that we even envision?
One of the suggested concepts is to help bring the budget bring the project back within budget scope is, instead of widening the sidewalks to the outside of what's there now, is to reduce the length, reduce it from a 4-lane road to a 2-lane road, and build the sidewalks to the inside. That's one of the proposed concepts that's been put forward. Obviously, we're going to study that carefully to make sure that that can be done. We're going to look at the traffic to make sure that we can reduce the lanes to 2 lanes before we're doing it. But it's probably the preferred concept we're looking at now, but until we study it further, we won't know that that is going to be the actual design.
Is it possible to put up a bicycle lane in?
Yeah, that's part of it as well, is reducing it. We don't need the entire 12-foot lane to make the sidewalk, so we can incorporate bicycles in there as well.
What is the width of the minimum width of a lane?
The preferred width is usually a 12-foot travel lane, although for a roadway of that standard, usually 10-foot lanes are acceptable, although if you're putting bikes on the roadway with traffic, you have other considerations that you have to make as well. But generally between 10 and 12 foot is the standard lane width for that type of roadway.
Is it possible that we could... I'm sorry. Is it possible... It seems like that those... I travel those streets quite frequently, and it seems to me like there's a lot of traffic there. It seems like putting them down to one lane each would be quite restrictive. Is it possible that we have any right-of-way that we could put, a sidewalk on one side, a bicycle on the other side, on the outside? Is that
potentially, that we'll have to study that and look at it. Like I said, that gets into a level of detail that we have not looked at yet with these. And that's what, when we hired the design consultant that would do this work, that's one of the things we would ask them to do, is to bring us some concept layouts that would meet the intent of the project, and taking into consideration things such as traffic, can we reduce it to a 2-lane road, or is a 4-lane road necessary? If we do go to the outside, how much right-of-way would that entail, and what would the cost of that right-of-way be? Those are the issues we would have a design consultant look at, and with our input as well as the city.
Do we have any right-of-way as now, or out to the edge?
I would think we would have, generally in that road, I haven't looked at the specific right-of-way, but generally on a roadway like that, we would have anywhere from 10 to 15 feet behind the curb as city right-of-way right now. I don't know exactly what it is on that road, but generally it's between 10 and 15 feet of right-of-way behind from the back of curb and gutter.
I was worried about the traffic and maintaining the turning lane.
We would not take out the left turning lane. Left turn bays would still be in there. It would be more taking up the through travel lanes if we went that route.
Is there any possibility that figure could go higher than that?
I'm sorry. The $125,000, yes. One of the issues with these projects is, can you get the design done and the right-of-way acquired for within that amount of money? And basically the city would be, we have to provide $125,000 towards the project to get the $500,000, but if our cost, let's say we did buy right-of-way and there was an additional right-of-way cost in there that was not, with construction, took it above the $625,000, then yes, the city could be obligated for that additional money.
It has a multiplier factor. Okay, any other discussion?
I'll just say that this is one of my hot buttons. I walk on this road. I hate the fact that there are no sidewalks there. And if there were one place I'd put sidewalks in Dunwoody, this is it. So I think this is a great opportunity for us to use a little of our money and a lot of the state's money to get a problem solved.
Multiplier.
it is a good multiplier, 125,000, and you get 500,000. And that is kind of one of the main drags in the Benoit Village area. Okay, any more discussion? Okay, all those in favor? Sharon, would you read that ordinance again, please, for me?
Resolution.
The agenda item again, please.
Yes, sir. A resolution to approve and authorize a memorandum of understanding between the City of Dunwoody and the Department of Transportation of the State of Georgia for Transportation Improvement Project, Enhancement Project.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it, 6-0. Okay.